رحمك يا رب، رحمك يا رب العباد رجائي ورضاك قصدي، استجب لي دعائي. رحمك يا رب العباد رجائي ورضاك قصدي، فاستجب لي دعائي. وحماك أبغي يا إلهي راجيا منك الرضا، فجد بولائي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Respected viewers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to this show. In this show, inshallah, we aim to answer those questions, those pertinent questions that youth have, that all of us have, that we find difficult to answer. Books don't have satisfying answer for these questions coming from the West. Very pertinent, very applicable to our daily lives. And inshallah, for these questions, we're joined by two scholars, senior students of the Hawza Ilmi of Qum. And inshallah, in this session, this half an hour we have together, we try and go in depth into one topic, explore as much as we can, and inshallah, try and get something that will be applicable in our daily life and satisfy this question that we have, inshallah, in this topic. If we don't reach a satisfying answer, or if you have more to say, more comments, more questions, then feel free to email us on this email address that's now displayed on your screen. So, Sheikh Hamza has joined us and Sheikh Kazim has joined us. Assalamu alaikum to you both.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
The question for today is regarding individualism. Now, at first this sounds like very negative. I don't know nothing about it. So let me explore. Let me put a picture into this so the viewers we can have an understanding of what we mean by this. Imagine, God forbid, there's a boat, there's people on the boat, they're going out in the sea, and the boat, an accident occurs and the boat sinks. Now, everybody is out of the boat, in the water, in the big ocean, in the middle of nowhere, and they're grabbing everything they can. They're grabbing this piece of wood and this piece of wood to save themselves. Now, if somebody tells them, you know what, why don't you go save the other person who's drowning, and that person is drowning too, save him and save this person. You'll be like, no, I have to save myself first, before I go and save others. That's a logical thing. Now come back to this world. I live in the West on a bright summer day. I'm walking in the streets. There's things that I'm not supposed to see everywhere. Life, left, right, center. There's perfumes everywhere that I'm supposed to smell. There's music going on in every shop I enter. There's Burger King and doubtful burgers everywhere I go. All these temptations I'm facing through. Now I'm trying my best to be a good Muslim. I'm trying my best to fight my temptations. Really, I don't have time for others. I really don't care about others say. I don't care about what this person say, what this person's saying, what this Maulana is talking about, how many people are dying in Pakistan and how many people are doing this and that. I only care about myself. If this Christian decided to something against Islam, if that person publishes something against the Prophet, right now it's about me and myself. I need to focus on my temptations. I need to sort myself out. What do you have to say about that?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There's a couple of things very briefly if I want to run through, because the topic of individualism and this serious illness and disease that is so widespread in our Western culture that many of us don't realize how it has affected us. We think that, oh, we're not affected by it. Everybody else is. The Westerners are. The non-Muslims are. Everybody else is, but we're not. No. Most of those of us living out there, okay, most of us, consider the fact that I'm including myself, most of us are involved with it to some degree. Okay. And I hope and I pray to God that we are able to overcome this problem, because it's a serious problem. Very briefly, a couple of things that come to mind regarding your question of, you know, why should I be dealing with others or even considering that an important thing? I'm struggling myself. Well, one thing is, a simpler answer is, God has made you responsible. If you're worried about yourself, that is part of your responsibility. It's not something that you're not responsible for. If we are responsible for prayer, if we are responsible for fasting, if we are responsible for avoiding the sins, if we're responsible to avoid music, if we're responsible to go to Hajj, we're also responsible to do Amr al-Ma'ruf wa Nahi al-Munkar.
Sure.
We are responsible. قُلْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. You are responsible for your family members. And if you take care of everything that only deals with you and you have nothing to do with anybody else, the Holy Prophet says, مَنْ أَصْبَحَ وَلَمْ يَهْتَمَّ بِأُمُورِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَيْسَ بِمُسْلِمٍ. Such a person isn't a Muslim. So if you're worried about your own Islam, you have to, as part of that, be involved with other people. Okay, so they're inseparable.
But at the expense of losing myself?
That's the second part of the explanation that I'm trying to give. It's a wrong perception of reality that we think we can, without caring about others, be able to save ourselves. This is wrong. Okay, it's an illusion. Okay. Shaitan tries to make us think that way and convinces us that, yeah, if I do my prayers, if I'm worried about this, I don't want to be worried about this protest or that protest or how many people got killed here or there or which one of my friends or family members is doing what. Okay, if I think in that way I'm going to preserve my own faith, we're absolutely wrong. That's not going to happen. When I care for others, two ways for me to put it. One is connecting it with the first point that I said. If it's an obligation for me to care about others, then caring about them is going to strengthen my faith. And that strength or the strongness of my faith is going to help me avoid sins. All right.
Okay.
By performing that obligation, it gives me that strength. And the reverse of that, if I don't do it, that means I have committed a sin. And if I commit a sin, it weakens my faith and I'm not going to be able to avoid the music. Okay. So all of this is intertwined. You can't separate and divide up religion and say, okay, these are the personal responsibilities and these are the social responsibilities. I want to cater to this to save myself. No, if you don't cater to those, that's going to weaken your faith. You're not going to be able to do this. That's one point. The other point is the emphasis that we have in Islam on social life. God has created us as social beings, right? We are not individuals and just that. We are individuals within a society. If you look at the verses of the Holy Quran, give me one example that is only an individual act. Okay. You cannot, even the prayer, Allama Tabatabai has this in Tafsir al-Mizan, I believe in the first or second volume, if I get this correctly. He says, everything within Islam has a social dimension to it. Even the prayer that you think is, okay, this is, you know, between you and God. No, it's not just between you and God. Okay? It involves society. It involves people. Just two simple examples are the congregation. And some of us unfortunately think, oh, if I want to get my spirituality up there, I'm going to avoid congregation to do that. Well, they have told us to do the congregational prayers. That's going to get you closer to God. You can't just make spirituality out of thin air. God gives you that. And He said, you listen to me, I'll give it to you. Listen to me in what? Congregational prayers. So you got to do that. You come together with the people in the center, in the mosque. You have to come, you have to be part of that. We have so many ahadith that you need to be part of a community. You can't be like individual sheep. And this is where it becomes more important in another part of the explanation. A sheep, if you look at a flock, a sheep that strays away and says, oh, I'm going to take care of myself, okay, thinking that, oh, I'm so smart. The flock is moving in the wrong direction or whatever, I'm going to take care of myself. Well, you're out there, all the wolves are going to come and tear you apart. This is what happens. We have this example in hadith, okay? So, social life is an extremely important part of Islam. In fact, one of the devastating diseases that can come into an Islamic community that destroys the teachings of prophets, destroys the teachings of the imams, is individualism, where a person wants to care only about himself or herself. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the rest of the imams, plenty of ahadith on this. In order to save, I'll end with this, which I think we started with. In order to save myself, I need to worry about others. These are not separable. It's impossible to separate the two.
Yeah. I guess basically we're saying that this temptation that I'm trying to fight, what's going to help temptation, fighting this temptation, is exactly helping others in it.
Definitely. That's in many ways, which again, inshallah, I hope that Sayyidina here is going to expand on.
Sure. I guess that's a very interesting way to look at our action, especially when you mentioned that everything in Islam that we do is as a social aspect to it, including the salah, that we thought, you know what, it's just between me and God. Okay, so let's take a wider or bigger picture. Define individualism for us. Define, what does selfishness mean? Is it completely a bad thing? What does it really mean? What are we trying to say here, Said Kazim?
Yeah, individualism has lots of meanings. And like selfishness, egoism, not being able to sacrifice for anyone. Like people say, I'm not ready to tolerate your dad, I'm not ready to tolerate your mom, I'm not ready to do this for you. Now before we go to here, the point, they say, okay, let me practice on my religion, let me go to paradise and I'll not think about others. So here we have several narrations and several verses in Holy Quran which are saying, if you don't help others, actually your worships are not accepted too. Like, for example, we see in Hajj, okay, at the end, after you do your Hajj, Allah is saying, give charity, slaughter an animal, which should be given to poor. And if you don't slaughter an animal, your whole Hajj is not accepted.
Interesting.
Slaughtering animals means to give charity, to help others,
exactly.
Thinking about others. You're fasting for 30 days, 29 days, 30 days. If you don't give zakat, if you don't give fitrah, again, if you don't give charity, your fastings are not accepted.
Interesting.
So people think, okay, I'll just think about myself. Aqimu salat wa atu zakat. Perform prayers and give charity. Listen, all the worships, if someone is thinking that, okay, I'll just think about myself, I'll just think about my worships and I don't have to think about others. So actually, if you are not thinking about others, if you are selfish, if you only think about yourself, so your worships are even not accepted. Now, individualism has many meanings. We cannot talk about it completely, because if we talk about the whole meaning of individualism, then we have to talk about socialism, we have to talk about collectivism. At the moment, the point we want to talk about is selfishness. Selfishness is one of the meanings of individualism. There's some other meaning, inshallah, at the end, if we have time, we'll talk about that too. If individualism means selfishness, it's very dangerous. And it could harm me, myself, and others too.
How?
Like, for example, many Shias have been killed in Pakistan. Many Shias have been killed in different parts of the world. And I'm a Shia, or I'm a Muslim. So I feel that, oh, so many brothers and sisters, little children are being killed only for being Muslim, or only for being Shia, only for loving Ali ibn Abi Talib, they have been killed, they have been martyred. Even little children. Once I'll say, okay, oh, what's to me? I'm living in Canada, I'm living in UK, nothing is happening to me. I shouldn't think about them. I shouldn't care about them. The second thing, okay, what should I do for them? The least thing what I can do to go and protest against those oppressors who are killing these Shias. And if, for example, I say, oh, I don't have to go, I don't have to protest because I'm living in Canada, I'm living in UK, and those oppressors who are killing Shias in Pakistan, they'll not come to UK, they'll not come to Canada, and I'm saved.
It has an effect.
But actually, if I'll just give an example, it could kill him too. A lovely example, like Muslims, Christians, and Jews. There are many things in Islam, in Christianity, in Judaism, which are like each other. So, and of course, there are some disputes too. Everywhere there are some disputes. Instead of talking and discussing about the disputes, we can talk about those common things and be one and love each other, Christians, Muslims, and Jews. And we know that there is one enemy who wants to finish Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. He wants to finish all the religions. Now look and pay attention to this example. For example, there were three friends, Muslim, Christian, and Jew. They went in an orchard. They didn't know that it belongs to someone. And they started picking apples, cherries, and eating, thinking that it doesn't belong to anyone. Suddenly, after a while, the owner of that place, that orchard, comes. And he sees there are three people. He cannot fight with all of them at one time. So he's thinking, what should I do? He goes forward, he talks to them, he finds that one is Muslim, one is Christian, one is Jew. Now, this guy wants to fight with all of them. He's enemy of all these three people. He wants to finish them. But he cannot finish them at first. What he does, he says, oh, Christian, you are my friend. Oh, Jew, you are my friend. But I don't like Muslim to be in my orchard. And he fights with them, hits him, and kicks him out. Here, the Christian and Jew, they were his friend. In many societies, we see Christian, Muslims, Jews, they are friends. They're living together. But here, the Christian and Jew said, okay, no problem. I have to think about myself. I'm saved. No problem if the Muslim was kicked out, was killed, or anything happened to him. Now the man comes. Again, there are two people and he's one. He says, no matter if the Jew comes to my orchard, picks up anything, I love him, he's my friend, but I don't want the Christian to be here. Again, the Jew said, oh, I'm saved. He kicks out the Christian, hits him, beats him, and now he's alone. Who? The Jewish guy. Now he hits him too. Now what's the result? If all those three friends were together, they were not selfish, thinking, oh, I'm saved, no matter if the Christian or the Jew or the Muslim is in the trouble, in the problem, then what would have happened? The enemy was not able to harm any of them. So today, not only Muslims, not only Shias, even Christian, Jews, Muslims, they all should think about each other.
Together. It's the same example as a wolf, as a sheep going out of the pack.
Exactly. Sure. But now people say, okay, why should I think about others? Okay, like in the daily lives, if you are a human being, if you see somebody's burning,
it's a natural instinct.
If you see somebody's drowning, yeah. All the people, if they're human, okay,
yeah.
If they haven't been chained to animalistic habits,
sure.
We have in Quran, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. Some people become like animals, even some become worse than the animals. Yeah, if you see a dog is dying, is injured, the second dog comes and looks at him and doesn't help him. Okay? But a human being, when he looks somebody's injured, he goes forward to help him. Right? If somebody's drowning, if somebody's burning, if somebody is in problem, any human being will go forward to help him. Okay? So same thing here comes back to Amr bil Ma'ruf.
Yeah.
When I see a boy or a girl, a brother, a sister is doing something wrong, and I know that doing this bad action will take him or her to the fire of hell.
I'd love to interrupt you. It's good you brought Amr bin Ma'ruf into this. But it's time to take a break. So we'll have a quick pause. And inshallah, we'll come back to this very interesting topic of Amr bin Ma'ruf. Just to summarize quickly, imperialism, we talked about selfishness as only looking for ourselves, towards ourselves. But as Sayyid Qasim said, it's very important. It's actually human nature or human instinct to actually go and look out for others, look together. And if we separate each other, then we'll be destroyed by the enemy. So inshallah, stay tuned for after the break.
نشد که آینه باشم برای دیدن تو، بیا که آینه خواهم شد از رسیدن تو، فرود آمدنت را چقدر بی‌تابم، تا تمام خواهش محضم به شوق دیدن تو حرام باد به چشمان ابری من خواب مباد خفته بمانم دم وزیدن تو مباد خفته بمانم دم وزیدن تو بیا که ناشدنی شد به تو رسیدن من چه ساده می شود اما به من رسیدن تو به من رسیدن تو بیا که ناشدنی شد به تو رسیدن من چه ساده می شود اما به من رسیدن تو به من رسیدن تو
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. Welcome back to the show. We were discussing regarding individualism and selfishness, and we discussed and we got the answers very interesting, very pertinent, that really, and if I can summarize in one word, is that it has an impact. It has an impact on my own life. If I don't care for others, it's actually not caring for myself. If I care for others, it's actually caring for myself. So we ended with the topic of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. So if I can define it very quickly, it really means when you see some bad happening, you preach so that bad doesn't happen. So you tell the person not to do the bad thing. And if someone is not doing a good thing, then you tell them to do a good thing. So here's a question. Well, actually two questions. Firstly, can I, as a normal person living in the West, a youth, fighting my own battles, am I ready to do Amr bil Ma'ruf? That's the first question. Just to give an idea or a picture to it, imagine a doctor. A doctor has to go to 5 years, BM5 in the UK, BM6, sometimes 6 years of university studies, struggle for 6 years, and then only he can preach. And then only he can preach in the sense that cure people. Now, say it says I should do Amr bil Ma'ruf, or some says I should do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar, but I'm not ready. I'm like that this doctor in his first semester, in his second semester, I can't cure people. Do you really expect me to do this?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'll start with the example. And I think if we clear that up, then maybe we can have an answer for the first question as well. If we take the example of a doctor, you have doctors in all societies. Okay, people go train, they become professionals. But does that mean that, for example, if I have a cold, no one can tell me, hey, you need to go to the doctor? No one can tell me, hey, I think you should be covering yourself a bit more. It's cold, and if you're ready for it, you need to do that. We don't need to be doctors to tell people what we already know and things that are clear, okay? If we see somebody's committing an obvious sin, we don't need to have gone through training to be able to tell the person, okay, whether or not they should do it, they should avoid it or not. No, we know it, and it's our responsibility to tell them. What we don't know, then obviously, yes, we should go and find out. And before finding out, we can't go and tell people because we could actually be pushing them to do something that is wrong. Or, God forbid, something that happens, unfortunately, plenty of times. And please, let me take this time. Please, our communities, our youth, our elders need to learn more about Islam. Why? Because sometimes we stress and we insist on certain things. We push youth or just each other on issues that are not really that important. They're not wajib or haram, but we're so
adamant
to have this happen. We're ready to destroy the center because this thing didn't happen in the center. It wasn't even wajib. It wasn't even a sin. Okay, and we have these illusions sometimes, of course. It's culture mixing in, but it's not always that. Sometimes it's a misunderstanding of what Islam says. So without that training, yes, we may be pushing people towards something that is actually not necessary. And it's not good to do that. We're supposed to be helping people avoid sins. But if something is not haram, we shouldn't be pushing people. It's important for us to try to share the knowledge we have, try to help people avoid the sins that we already know. And the example of a doctor is that a doctor is a professional and they do more than just the average. And that's why, again, in religion, that's a very good example. The responsibility of a scholar who's gone through the full training, is a lot more than someone that's just an average person. The average person is like the average person in medicine. You tell people, cover up, I don't think you should be having all that fried food if you have a sore throat, and things of that nature. And a doctor can be a little more serious about what you need to take, what pill you need to take, how long you need to take it for, and so on and so forth. And a scholar within Islam is more responsible. The average person is responsible for what they have. Even we have hadith, because this kind of moved towards knowledge a bit based on that example. But even in practice, if I am even doing something that is wrong, the Maraja have been asked about this. If I am committing the sin that this person is committing currently, I still have the responsibility of telling them, don't do this.
But don't we have a verse in the Quran that says that don't say to others what you don't do yourself?
No, that there's a different interpretation to that. That's not what the verse means. The verse, I think you're referring to the verse that says, لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ.
Yes.
Okay. That apparently has a different meaning. But the Maraja have been asked on this question. If we are committing the sin ourselves, are we responsible? Some other occasion, I unfortunately am involved with the sin myself. But now I'm seeing somebody doing it before me. Do I just say, oh, I do it myself too, so I'm not going to say anything about it? Or am I supposed to tell the person, hey, it's bad for you, you shouldn't be doing that? No, you should tell them. Even if you are failing to control yourself on that matter, you need to tell others to do that. Of course, this doesn't mean that we become hypocrites. We should be trying to avoid the sin ourselves. It shouldn't be like, oh, I don't care, I'll just commit it, all right? And I want to, I'm intending to, and I just love committing that sin. And at the same time, I just want to get on to this person. I'll use Amr al-Ma'ruf as an excuse. No, that's not the scene that we're trying to paint here. What we're trying to say is that sometimes we fail to practice something. It's not like we love to commit the sin. It's just, you know, we failed to. We tried, but we weren't strong enough. Now I'm seeing it happen and somebody else is doing it. That is a responsibility that we're going to have to...
And linking back to what you said before, actually helping him will actually help me as
definitely,
well.
Definitely, yes. Because if I... And not helping him is going to harm me as well.
Sure.
From looking at it from simply the spiritual perspective of the effect of doing the wajib and not doing it. Mm-hmm. If you do the wajib, it strengthens your faith. Then you are going to become more capable of avoiding sins in general and doing your wajibat. And if you don't do that, then you're going to become weaker with that. I mean, the sins make you weak on one hand, and this is also going to make you weak, right? So we are going to have to do that, even if we haven't fully developed ourselves into some saint or something.
Yeah, actually, it makes sense as well, because even on a lower level, I mean, you talk about the impact on a spiritual, on a faith level, but even on a lower level, if I go to somebody and tell them, you know, lying is bad, don't lie, just hearing myself saying it actually has an impact on myself. Like, you know, I just said that lying is bad, so I shouldn't be lying myself. So
that's very true, but I want to introduce this other idea as well that we have in Islam. Look, we don't realize the effect of these. If we just look at ourselves as individuals and that's it, we look at it maybe in this way, okay? But if we look at the bigger picture, a society that is filled with lies, even the believers are going to get involved with that. Because they're raised with that. In some Eastern countries, you come, they're Muslims, you come. I think this is something that all the Western Muslims that have had the experience coming to the Muslim world can relate to. You have certain things that you consider very wrong out in the West. Okay, and you know Islamically it's also wrong. But it's culture there to avoid that. For whatever reason, okay, they don't do certain things that Islamically we're not supposed to. For example, they're on time. Okay, they're punctual. Except for our masjids, unfortunately. Sure. But people are usually punctual. When they make a commitment, they stick to it. They don't lie in their business, okay? At least a lot of people. When you go to the supermarket, they don't lie to you there, okay? In those examples, in the higher up, it's a different story. Anyway, when you come into the Eastern world, then you see that it's certain things that are culture. People, why are people like this? Why are people ripping me off? And these are believers. You know what the problem is? This is exactly the problem, because everybody's thinking of themselves. When something becomes a widespread illness, even the believers that want to avoid it, they're going to get involved with it. Okay? And if we can create a community that is free from certain illnesses, if in our community we talk to people, we keep mentioning that not only in lectures that ghiba is wrong, backbiting is a sin. When we hear each other doing it, don't do that. And this center just becomes free of ghiba. No one wants to talk about it. Why? Because they know if you say anything here, people are going to get on to you. Okay, then people are going to be more cautious. Those that would have tried their best to avoid it are avoiding it. Those who may have not been so interested and motivated to avoid it, now they feel like they have to. So it becomes an environment clear of sin. It's like viruses. If you have the virus come in to a society, then it starts to spread like wildfire, okay? And you can't control it then. So it's important, it's very important that we look at it from that perspective. And don't think, oh, I can't change all society, so leave the whole thing. No. Each individual plays their role, and that's how society forms in the right way, okay? Well, there's other examples as well, but I think I spoke too much.
We'll come back to it. No, just know we benefited a lot from this. Inshallah, we'll come back to this. I just want to move a little bit, because we said, okay, selfishness is not a good thing. We need to be part of a society. We need to care for the society. We need to work together and build ourselves, basically. Sometimes we fail in our own sin. We commit sins. We fail in our fighting our desires and temptations. But that's not an excuse to not preach goodness, not ask others to avoid evil, basically. Because it has a society play, it's linked together basically, right? The whole society and everything affects each other, and we need to be conscious of others, not just for ourselves. However, if I can just put a twist to it, sometimes selfishness is still good. Just an example, if I go to university and okay, I'm a Shia, sometimes it's difficult to pray or to even show that I'm a Shia, but let's say it's okay. Sometimes I feel that it's better if I just focus on what I'm supposed to do, like in my studies, in my practice, in my research, because university is a very difficult period of time for any youth in the West. They all know university is hard. Fighting temptation is like, it's a battleground, okay? Sometimes I just feel like, let me just be selfish for a couple of years here. And sometimes I even feel it might be even a good thing there. Okay, not complete selfishness, but sometimes, let's say on a day-to-day basis, I go to the prayer room, I pray. I don't really care what they're saying about Shiism, what these Wahhabis are talking about against Shiism. I'm going to focus on my own studies. I'm going to focus on my own level here. Not care about what others, to some extent. With the goal that it will really help me to keep safe. Why? Because if I really do care about others, then I'll get lost in trying to do this, joining this society, helping debate with this guy, debate with that guy, put this thing straight and that thing straight, and I'll get lost. I'll be everywhere. So can we say there's a balance where, yes, care for the society a lot, but sometimes selfishness has a place in, and it's a good in it? Is that correct?
Okay, here we have to go back to individualism. The different meanings, as I said in the beginning, selfishness, egoism. One of the meanings of individualism is that thinking about your goals. Okay, I have a goal to be pious, religious, and like a girl, she has a goal to do hijab. A boy, like he has a goal to pray at his own time, even in university, no matter even if he's in a Western country, non-Muslim country, no matter if people are looking at him. He has a goal to practice on his religion. Individualism, in this meaning, is good. He's not thinking of, oh, people are saying, oh, she's doing hijab, or he's doing such and such, praying, like, or he has beard, like, you know, some things like this. Some people are ru'a, like mosquitoes. The wind takes them to right, left, up, down. Mm-hmm. Islam is saying that Muslim, especially mu'min, shouldn't be like that. Al-mu'minu kal-jabal ar-rasikh la tuharrikuhu al-awasif. A mu'min of faithful is like a mountain. The winds and the storms doesn't move him. If you take individualism with this meaning, that yes, I'm thinking about my goals, which I have, okay, no matter all the people are against me, if I'm sure I'm correct, like in Karbala, we see those who were supporters of Imam Hussein, those who were with Imam al-Hussein, they came to and asked Imam Hussein, we are on the right path? Imam said, yes, we are on the right path. Then they said, okay, if we are on the right path, no matter if the whole world is against us. It's the same thing today, Muslims, Shias, we feel that the whole world is against us. So, We shouldn't be like, oh, okay, here, some people are saying, don't pray, so I'll not pray because I want to make them happy. Or here, all the people are not doing hijab, so I'll take out my hijab to make them happy. No. If you take individualism, or if you say this is selfishness, anything you want to put, any name you want to put on it, it's good. In this meaning, thinking that your goal is a great goal, to be religious, to be pious, and you're following your goal, like Imam al-Khomeini. The whole world was against him, but he didn't care of anyone. He said, okay, let me make him happy or her happy. No, he said, no, I have to follow this because I'm sure I'm correct. And there are lots of examples. If you're sure you're correct on the right path, you're with the Imam of your time, you're following the Imam of your time, so don't think about what people are saying. كَالْجَبَلِ الرَّاسِخْ Like a mountain. Okay? But what you said, okay, then I shouldn't preach, I shouldn't do tabligh, it will stop me from... No. As Mulana also said, when you are not a scholar, like when you are not a doctor, you can ask him to use this and that pill. Same thing, when you are not a Mulana, you are not a Mujtahid, you are not allowed to give fatwas. Like unfortunately, we see in our societies, they say everything about religion like they are Mujtahid. No, you shouldn't do like that. But you know that praying on its time, yeah? Like doing hijab, the normal things, okay? Like Mulana said, cover yourself is called, okay? But there's a point. In Amr bil Ma'ruf, we should be careful. When you're doing Amr bil Ma'ruf, thinking about others and the importance of Amr bil Ma'ruf. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib is saying the whole worships are like one glass of water. And Amr bil Ma'ruf means thinking about others, not being selfish, saving people from fire of hell is so important in the eyes of Ali ibn Abi Talib that Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib is saying that Amr bil Ma'ruf is like the water of ocean. All other worships are like a glass of water, but Amr bil Ma'ruf is like the water of ocean. But we should be careful. When I'm doing Amr bil Ma'ruf, there's a lovely example. We shouldn't do like that monkey. There were two friends, a man and a monkey. They used to love each other. So once the man was sleeping, a fly came on his nose. The monkey wanted to save him, like if we say Amr bil Ma'ruf. The monkey wanted to save his friend, but he didn't know how to do Amr bil Ma'ruf. He didn't know how to save his friend. He picked up a stone and he hit on his nose. He wanted to save him from the fly because the fly was disturbing his friend. So in Amr bil Ma'ruf, when we are going to do Amr bil Ma'ruf, we shouldn't be like this. If you're saying a sister is not doing hijab, we say, oh, you are anti-Imam Hussein. You are anti-Bibi Zainab. You're not doing hijab. Means Amr bil Ma'ruf shouldn't be like this. Amr bil Ma'ruf should be as Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein did when they were child. The man was not able to do wuzu. He was old guy. They didn't say, oh, old guy, you don't know how to do wuzu. They said, oh, excuse us, if you have time, can you please come and look at our wuzu, whether we're doing correct or wrong? When he saw their wuzu and he compared it with his wuzu, he said, oh, sorry, you are correct and I'm wrong. And thank you very much for your good guidance.
Okay, so we're coming to the end of the show now, very quickly. So just to summarize, if you have a couple of minutes, I'll ask a last question. So we said the importance of not looking at ourselves only and looking at society because it has an impact in it. We said how actually looking and helping others actually has an impact on our own struggles and our own perfection, our own spirituality. And then we moved on to Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi al-Munkar. We said there are actually levels of Amr al-Ma'ruf that we shouldn't go out and think that we've become scholars now and trying to preach or give fatwas, basically. We should be very careful. But that doesn't mean that we can't tell somebody, you know, this is what you're doing is wrong. I mean, try and do this, try not to do this. The simple haram and wajib things, which are very important. And as Sheikh Hamza very beautifully said, I mean, we can all tell somebody who's got a cold, close the window, dress warmly and get into bed. That's a normal thing. We don't need to be doctors for that. So that's very interesting. So very quickly, individualism, we say no to it because we are part of a society and we have to help each other. And only when we help each other, we work together as a society for a better goal, looking for the perfection of humanness, of humanity. Working together, we will be saved and we will save and reach that goal together, basically. I guess we don't have more time for questions. If there is anything that you feel you want to ask, you want to comment, suggest, please feel free. The email address is displayed on your screen. Thank you for both of you for your answers. I think we benefited a lot from it. I'm sure you did too. And inshallah, we hope to work together for a better society. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
ناديت باسمك يا إلهي ناديت باسمك يا إلهي ضارعاً إن لم تجرني فمن يجير بكائي أنت الكريم فلا تدعني تائها فلقد عنيت من العباد النائي مالي مالي سوى أعتى بجودك موئل فلئن طردت فمن سواك دوائي فلقد رجوتك يا إلهي ضارعا فلقد رجوتك يا إلهي ضارعا بمحمد ألا تخيب رجائي بمحمد بمحمد لا تخيب رجائي.